From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. I've chosen a couple of articles to talk about this week. I'm recording this on Monday, August 24th. We're going to have a lot more for you later in the week and early next week as we cover the important clinical trial research at ESC. So I'll talk about just two articles today that I thought were relevant. They sort of caught my eye this week when we were looking at all the stuff that's being published in our area. The first article looks at the question of whether angiotensin neprilysin inhibition affects renal outcomes in patients who have heart failure with preserved EF. This is an analysis of the Paragon heart failure trial. And the other one I'm going to mention is the randomized trial that came out this week looking at remdesivir versus standard care in patients with moderate COVID-19 pneumonia. So let's start with the heart failure study. This is a pre-specified secondary analysis of the Paragon heart failure study, and you may remember that trial showed a 13% change in the composite endpoint of cardiovascular death and heart failure hospitalization comparing sacubitril valsartan to valsartan alone. It was of borderline significance, didn't quite reach the endpoint, but there was a trend. One of the questions of the trial was whether or not there were important subgroups that might have had a benefit. And this particular analysis had been pre-specified. And remember, the study was patients over the age of 50. They had EFs greater than 45%. They had to have LVH or left atrial enlargement. They had elevated natriuretic peptide levels. And they had a need for maintenance diuretic therapy. Patients who were hypotensive or had severe CKD with an EGFR less than 30 were excluded, as were patients with hyperkalemia or a substantial increase in fall in GFR between screening and randomization. So eventually nearly 5,000 patients were in the trial. 52% were women. For the most part, they were white, 81%. 13% Asian. African Americans made up a distinct minority in this particular study. The composite renal outcome occurred in 1.4% of patients in the sacubitril valsartan group and 2.7% in the valsartan group. This was significant, and it was mainly driven by a lower risk of major decline in EGFR. 27 patients in the treatment group versus 60 in the standard valsartan group. Progression to end-stage renal disease and death was very uncommon in both groups, so this was obviously very important. Also, the authors looked at the mean decline in GFR over a four-year follow-up period, and this also appeared to favor the combination of sacubitril valsartan versus valsartan alone. So this sub-analysis does suggest that the combination of sacubitril valsartan was associated with lower risk of adverse renal events in HFpEF patients and was mainly driven by less likelihood of a major decline in GFR when therapy was initiated. We still have so much to learn about HFpEF, and of course one of the challenges with HFpEF is that it represents not one phenotype but many phenotypes. Is the problem ischemia? Is it inflammation? Is it fibrosis, etc.? So we're searching for answers. This is an interesting analysis. It raises the possibility that the combination of sacubitril neprilysin with valsartan inhibition might affect renal vein congestion that could improve renal outcomes in these patients, but we need a lot more information. I thought it was an interesting paper, and I recommend it to you. The journal scan for this paper can be accessed on acc.org. The other paper I wanted to talk about today is a really important randomized trial of remdesivir versus standard care in COVID-19 pneumonia. And we have two therapies now for patients who are severely ill with COVID-19 pneumonia, being dexamethasone and remdesivir. This trial asked the question in patients who are less ill. This is a randomized open-label trial of hospitalized patients who had COVID-19. They had infiltrates, but they had to have room air oxygen saturation greater than 94%. It was enrolled patients from March 15th to April 18th in 105 hospitals in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. And the final follow-up was on May 20th. So they compared a 10-day course of remdesivir to a 5-day course of remdesivir to standard care. And there were roughly 200 patients in each arm. Remdesivir was given IV, 200 milligrams on day one, and then 100 milligrams after that. And they looked at clinical status outcome on day 11. They used an interesting 7-point ordinal scale, ranging from death, category 1, to discharge, category 7. And then they used a proportional odds model to look at the various outcomes in the three groups. It was an interesting analysis. Median age was 57. 39% were women, 56% had cardiovascular disease, 42% hypertension, and about 40% were diabetic, and 91% completed the trial. As I said, there was a 5-day treatment group, a 10-day treatment group, and then a standard treatment group. And the outcomes were curious. When they looked at the 5-day group, there appeared to be a higher odds of better outcomes compared to the standard group. However, when they looked at the 10-day remdesivir group, there was not a significant difference. Curious indeed. Side effects from remdesivir generally minimal. Nausea, 10% versus 3%. Hypokalemia, 6% versus 2%. And headache, 5% versus 3%. So they concluded that in this analysis, there appeared to be benefit in terms of the composite outcome of 5-day therapy. But if you ask the question, well, did remdesivir lead to an improved survival? These patients actually did well. Only 1% of the patients died in the 5-day group, 2% in the 10-day, and 2% in the standard care group. So it suggests to us that, you know, our current standard therapy right now in moderately ill patients with COVID-19 is associated with high survival, 98 to 99%. So we're still searching for answers in treatment. We know that remdesivir and dexamethasone in very, very ill patients, particularly on a ventilator or ECMO, seem to get benefit from remdesivir and also dexamethasone. But in these more moderately ill patients, we don't see yet a clear benefit of remdesivir based on this trial. And of course, while dexamethasone is being used quite liberally in that group, we're not sure how much benefit it is offering. Well, I've enjoyed bringing these two articles to you today in Eagle's Eye View. We talked about the potential value of the use of angiotensin, neprilysin inhibition, and renal outcomes in HFpEF, and this important trial looking at remdesivir in moderately ill patients with COVID-19. I hope you stay safe and that you have a healthy week. And I look forward to talking to you later this week as we review the big trials that will be coming out in ESC. Notably, the COVID-19 stuff can be found on acc.org in our hub. There's a wonderful hub there covering all the material on COVID-19. I recommend it to you. This is Kim Eagle. I'm out.